back to episode 6 of the Camera Shack podcast. I'm your host, Logan, and I thought today I would talk about a little event that I went and participated in, took some photos at, for the Little Miami Watershed Network. So if you're not familiar with them, they are a nonprofit organization in the, I guess you could say, greater Dayton area that tries to advocate, one might say, for the Little Miami River. So their main goal is to do things like make sure the river stays clean, advocate, you know, maybe there's like a business, something that's trying to dump waste or harm or pollute the river, or policies or laws that will make that easier or something like that. Then they go and say, hey, you know, we can't let this happen because that's going to, you know, pollute the river, you know, etc. So they hosted an event probably 2 weeks ago at this point. It was on a Saturday. It was basically just a little river cleanup event, and afterwards they had like a little sorry, there's gonna be a few in this episode. They hosted a little festival, you might say. It was basically just a small get together slash party in the park that the community was invited to. So the river cleanup started, I think, about 9 a.m., 10 a.m. The original plan was to actually have everyone get into kayaks and kayak along the river. Canoe along the river, and pick up trash as they canoed along. I guess because it had rained a whole bunch last night, the river was too high, and they basically canceled that part of it. So they just had everyone, you know, it was all throughout the area to different parks. So all the volunteers would be in groups and they go to different parks. And I was in a park that was in Bellbrook. It was one of the launch points for it getting into the river. But instead of going along the river, they just had people either walk along the river or walk along the actual parks they were in and collect trash in that vicinity then instead. And so my main goal part for this event was to just basically take photos and try to document the whole experience. So that's what I did. I took quite a few photos of people picking up trash. I say quite a few, I mean only a few. The problem was, because there's no really canoeing or anything like that, it kind of limited the scope I could take photos, you know, because, you know, we'll say there's 15 people, you know, at the park I was at. And it would have been really hard. I could have drove to another park, but then I would have to find where the people were to take photos of them. And there was only one park that's actually that close. And so most people, because there's only like 15 people there, I can only take so many photos of the same, you know, person picking up, you know, a pop bottle, you know. So I didn't really get as many photos as I would like, but I think I got 35 total photos, which is pretty good. So that's why I didn't go to another park or anything like that, because the parks themselves were actually pretty clean. There wasn't that much trash that we really picked up. And so I was worried that by the time I'd get my car and drive, you know, even 10 minutes to the next park, that group would already be done, or they'd be in some other little park and I wouldn't know where they were. I wouldn't know how to get to them. So I just figured I would just do just that group. And I think it still turned out pretty well. I would call it a big success personally. There wasn't a ton. There was trash, but there wasn't like a ton of trash. So that was really nice. That it was pretty clean. Someone had mentioned, I don't know how true this is, but someone had mentioned that the river itself is a little cleaner now. Like, this is one of the low points for the amount of trash, because the current is so fast right now that it basically just sweeps all of the trash away downriver. And that during like September, I think they said that that's when you kind of see a lot more trash in that area. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not a riverologist. So, but afterwards, we had a little event in a park nearby. And so I went over to that. Now, I will say, before we hop on over to the park, while I was there, I did meet another ham radio operator. He was one of the people, so they had people set up at least one ham radio operator in each park, so they could radio in, you know, how many volunteers showed up, if everything was going okay, when everyone had finished and left. And so I did get a chance to talk to him. His name is Paul. He's a, you know, pretty nice guy. He's a part of BARC. And he said he was interested in doing some YouTube videos for ham radio. So hopefully we will be able to, at some point, we keep trying to work on a meantime, but hopefully next week we're going to get together and we'll be able to sit down and talk about ham radio. Well, doing YouTube videos for ham radio. And it'd be great. So I help manage and run the Dara YouTube channel. And he would be running and managing the BARC YouTube channel for the most part. But it'd be really great if our two YouTubes could collab, because then, you know, we really grow the amount of content we could really make. And especially because right now it's just kind of me and me, myself, and I attempting to get more content created. But if there's two people, then, you know, there's someone to kind of strongly bounce ideas off of and really build it up. So he said he had a Sony camera. He has a very nice Sony camera. So I think that would really work out great. I'm really excited for that potential, and we'll see where that goes. I'll keep you guys updated. Anyways, sorry for this. I'm all over the place here. We went back to the park. I don't remember the name of the park. It was Bellbrook Park, I believe it's called. It's in the middle of downtown Bellbrook. And it was a pretty nice little event. So they had city barbecue. Oh man, free city barbecue for the volunteers, which is great. And there was probably about six or seven different, I'll use the word vendors there. There weren't really vendors per se. They weren't selling anything. They were just people who had come out. Like, so for instance, the Greene County Public Library, there was a representative there with like a table giving information about the Greene County Public Library, for instance. There's another person there from the Tecumseh Land Trust, right, talking about how the land trusts work and how their organization plays a role in keeping, you know, with the environment and stuff like that. And there was other people there. Well, I think there was about seven people. And I also took photos of this little party event as well. And I tried out something I'll say new. I've done it before per se, but nothing like this. So basically I did on the spot interviews with each representative that came out to the event. And so I've done interviews like in the past, but nothing like, you know, in the field. So how I played it, I didn't bring a tripod, I guess because I'm cool like that. So I was stuck there. The interviews were between like 2 to 4 minutes. I basically just had to hold the camera up to my face because I was looking through the EVF on the camera, you know, just staying there like as still as I can, attempting to record each person. And let me tell you, the camera is pretty light. Until you're doing that 7 times in a row for like 4 minutes, man, I tell you what, I think the last interview I did, like, I almost had to cut him off, like, 3 minutes in. I was like, I almost was like, yo, all right, we gotta stop. I can't hold up the camera any longer. But we made it through, and the interviews themselves turned out really great. So one of the main organizers, Rebecca, she asked some of the questions, and then we had the representative table kind of, you know, talk, give the answers and stuff like that. We did have a small issue. So I had a wireless, or I guess I have a wireless lapel pack. So there's Sony UWPs. And so I can record interview audio like that. So, you know, they just attach the lapel to the shirt and then put the mic box, you know, in their pocket. And it's great, except the microphone works too good, one might say, because it's really good at rejecting audio that's not audio coming from the person talking. And so Rebecca would ask him a question like, hey, you know, what does it mean to be a land trust? And you would have, you know, it's really, you could hear her ask the question, but it was not very as audible as, you know, one would like. So the solution would be to basically just have them hold the microphone up to Rebecca, let Rebecca ask a question, then put the microphone back on their shirt, or just hold the microphone. I don't know. I thought that would be, that just wouldn't look as nice, having them like pass back and forth the actual lapel microphone like that. So I just had them stay clipped onto their shirt. We didn't run the microphone up through the shirt. Usually you do that if you want to be like super fancy, and I was like, I don't really care. I was like, I'm not getting paid enough. I wasn't getting paid anything, but if I was getting paid something, I still would probably not be getting paid enough to go through the effort of trying to hide the lapel wire. I know a lot of people say that it, you know, it's all noticeable, blah blah blah. I don't think anyone actually cares or notices. And I think the thing that's actually really noticeable is the lapel box itself. I always try to always have people put it in their pocket so they're not like holding it, because I think that's way more distracting than the actual wire itself. I think a lot of people probably don't even notice the wire is there. But you know, if they're standing here holding this, you know, big black box, you know, shaking it all around, or they have it, you know, clearly visible in the frame, I think that's, you know, significantly more of a nose for things. I do try to make sure we can try and hide the lapel box, like the wireless box itself, whenever we can. We ended up with I think 7 interviews, and they were all, you know, 3 minutes long, and they all turned out great. The audio for the person who was speaking themselves was really great. The quality, like the quality was great. The only, I don't know about negative, downside, the only thing that kind of sucked, I guess I would say, is I did not bring wired headphones. So there was a lot of trust, you know, that the audio was just being captured, you know. And it's like, all right, I'm going to hit the record, and hopefully we'll hear them once I get home and look at the footage. I did mess up on the first interview. What did I do? I didn't do something right. I don't remember what it was now, but like something wasn't plugged in right. I don't remember what it was, but there was no audio for the first interview I did. And I realized almost immediately after I finished the interview. So I was like, all right, hey, listen, I messed this up. It was a great 3-minute speech. I don't know what it was, but a great 3-minute like little thing you gave. Do you think you can do it a second time? They were more than happy to do it a second time, so very, very big props to them. And I once again apologize for that one. Whoopsies. But hey, sometimes you just gotta live a little on the edge, a little dangerously, you know. Get home, maybe there's audio, maybe there's not, you know, that's a little excitement to the whole recording process. But that was that whole event. I think it turned out pretty well. And yeah.
you haven't already, you should check me out on Instagram at TheLoganR. I've been posting a lot of great photos on there recently, and I would love it if you could check it out, like a few photos, and follow me. Thanks.
So, the 4th of July coming up very soon. So, I'm going to be walking the parade. I'm going to go to the Huber Heights 4th of July parade, which is July 2nd. I'm going to the 3rd of July block party for Fairborn, and then the 4th of July parade, which will be the 4th for Fairborn. I'm going to be taking photos at all three of those events. So, I'm doing a lot of walking. And I'll probably, what I did last year, and I'll probably keep to it, is I shot most of the start of the parade with a 24-70, like, but before the parade actually started. So like a lot of close-up shots and stuff like that. But once it kind of gets started, or just before it even gets started, maybe then, or maybe for the whole time, I don't know. I'm planning on using my 70-200. I've been using it. That lens way more than I would really expect as well. It seems like I get the best photos with that lens as well, especially when you kind of really start shooting like pictures of individual people as well. It makes a great portrait lens. But so I have a second Canon camera. That's it's a Canon R. And my plan is to, for the Huber Heights parade, I'm going to let my friend Justin borrow my Canon R. Then for the 4th of July parade, I believe my dad will be there taking photos, so I'll let him borrow that camera then. And I have a 24-105 f4 for the Canon R. And I really, you know, I've become a big fan of the 70-200. I really like them to have a 70-200 for it, because I think that that's going to really give the best photos. But unfortunately, because of the cost of a 24 or a 70-200, I don't have a second 70-200. They're extremely expensive. So I decided, after my great big last debacle with renting a lens, to go all in and rent a 70-200 f4 RF for the camera, and I guess we're gonna see how it goes. So I'm gonna get it the Wednesday of that weekend, and then I believe Monday or Tuesday is when I return. I think it was 6 days. I wanted to get it early in case the shipment was late, because here's the thing, right? It was like $10 to have it an extra day. And I was like, this makes way more sense, because if something crazy happens, right, and it's a day late, right, and it comes July 3rd, well, that's useless to me. Well, if it comes July 2nd, I guess. It would come like halfway through July 2nd. So if I had ordered it for July 1st, and it came late on July 2nd, then we couldn't use it for the parade July 2nd. So I was like, for $10, it makes way more sense to get it one day early on July 1st. So whatever, on Wednesday. Anyways, more stories Wednesday. So I rented it from Camera Rentals. Again, same place I ran my other lens from. And we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to give a lot of really good photos. I'll definitely keep you guys updated. I'll let you know how the photos turn out from them. I have high hopes that they're going to get some great shots with that. The total cost, I think, was $105, if I'm not mistaken. It was, I think, like $90. I think it was $80 to rent it. I think it was then $10 for insurance. But then like $10 for shipping. Now, I could just guess, or if you give me 1 second, I'm just going to look up the receipt. So you guys can get just straight facts, you know. Okay, so it looks like it was $77 with the insurance. So I'm guessing the insurance is probably $7 is what I'm guessing. Maybe. I'm not sure. So you can get no insurance, regular insurance, which covers damages, and then insurance plus theft, or damages plus theft. I'm not really worried about someone stealing it, but I am worried something gets scratched, something gets, you know, dropped, etc. So I just went ahead and, you know, I figured why not pay extra like $10, whatever it is, $10, $15. So the subtotal was $77. It's $7 for tax, $30 for shipping, and then I had a discount code for $12. So the total was $101.90. Now, is this worth $101 to get the 70 to 200 photos for the Hooper Heights Parade, the Fairborn Parade? The answer is probably not, but Fairborn Chamber of Commerce will be writing me a fat check for at least, I don't know if they're writing me, probably though, not probably, they will be giving me at least $100 for taking some photos before the parade and stuff like that, things like that. So the cost will at least be covered. I'm not losing money per se, other than, I guess, my time. But, you know, just the cost of doing business, I guess, right? Because I'm not really so worried about getting paid to take the photos. Because I think the photos themselves are more important. You know, I think that once in a lifetime, only one 4th of July 2022 Fairborn Parade. So, I guess we'll see. Maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not. I guess we'll find out July 4th, probably July 5th, once they're actually fully edited. So we'll see. I'll definitely keep you posted. So yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you enjoyed, please check out some of my other episodes. Also, please share this podcast with some of your friends. I would love to grow the audience for it. If you'd like to leave any comments or suggestions to me, feel free to send me a message on Instagram @TheLoganR. I would love to hear from you guys. Thanks.